Hi, listening friend. Welcome to the Monday edition of Mark and Friends. It's June 23rd, 2014. Wow, what a super deluxe, high-powered ministry weekend. Friday night began with the study of Genesis and how we are made in God's image with a group of Chinese seekers. What a blessing, as they had lots of interesting questions. And Holly and I will be meeting with this group over the coming six or so Friday nights. Saturday morning, attended with about 30 or 35 other prayer warriors, a National Day of Prayer breakfast, where we got to pray up Champaign County and learn about upcoming initiatives, and we'll have more to say about that in the coming days. And that was followed by a sweet visit to Chuck and Edna Teicher's home. Happy 50th anniversary, guys. Chuck sings with the Singing Men of GNN, and then headed to the radio tower with family, and we accomplished a lot of work out there. Sunday, the Singing Men of GNN had a blessed concert at the First Baptist Church of Champaign in Savoy. A great crowd, many blessings to all. In fact, my voice this morning is a bit hoarse, as I think I sang as passionate and probably loudly as I could, as I think we had 40-plus guys gathered and almost packed the church. So that was a real blessing and a great time. Also, a little birdie has told me Peggy Meyer has a birthday today. So happy birthday, Peggy. All that know Peggy Meyer knows what a blessing and a special daughter of the King that she is. And her dad, Curly, did a solo last night, and we appreciate that whole family. As promised, really quickly, I'll call out seven prize winners, and I'll figure out the gifts later. I have a whole bucket full of Voice of Listener Radio surveys that were filled out last night, and I'll quickly read the names. Janet Rawdon from Urbana. Bob Schultz from Champaign, Mary Sigler from Leroy, Jan Kaba from Savoy, Barb Wisnott from Atwood, Terry Kaufman from Urbana, and Shirley Jones from Villa Grove. You'll get some ministry resource, whether it's a CD, a book, a DVD, or something from the Great News Radio Prize Cabinet. Well, a few days ago, co-host Pastor Jason Schiffo and I had a delightful about 45-minute conversation with the co-authors of the book Start Here, Beginning a Relationship with Jesus. And so in just a moment, you're going to hear from David Dwight and Nicole Eunice. They're on the pastoral team of Hope Church in Richmond, Virginia. They're going to share some of their testimony, why they wrote this book, and how it can be a helpful resource for us all. The entirety of our conversation will be broadcast today and tomorrow on the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends, and will be archived at greatnewsradio.org under our archived programs link. We began our time together with Pastor Jason opening up in prayer, and so that's how I'll start today, the Monday edition of Mark and Friends.
Oh, Lord, we just thank you that we can gather here this morning, Lord, that we can talk about Jesus, talk about your Son, that for your glory and for our good, that we can have conversations which build us up, which drive us towards holiness. Lord, we just pray for those people who might be struggling, might have just such a desire to talk about Jesus, but they just can't bring the words together to be able to articulate your great Son. And Lord, we know that sometimes when we talk about Jesus that he's so overwhelming. There's so much we want to say. There's so much that he's done in our life. There's so much emotion that it's sometimes hard to put those sentences together. So Lord, we just pray that through the discussion of this book, through the discussion of David and Nicole's testimonies, Lord, that you would help us to be able to formulate those words, be able to put them together. Lord, we pray that this resource would be something that would just equip and empower the body to be able to share the gospel, to be able to drive that message home that you sent your Son while we were still sinners, that we might be saved and saved for eternity. So we thank you and we praise you and we lift your name up. We ask that you would just bless our time right now. And however you're going to do it, Lord, through the Holy Spirit, through however you're going to carry this message, we pray that it would hit the hearts of those who need it most. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And the book we're going to be discussing today with special guests Dr. David Dwight and Nicole Eunice is called Start Here, Beginning a Relationship with Jesus. And Jason, I know when I got the copy of this book and began perusing it, it was all about Jesus. And I know your bell's going to be rung and I'm going to begin today.
I like Jesus.
Yeah, you like Jesus. Our listeners like Jesus. These two are followers, faithful followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, and have a real heart and passion for helping equip seekers or new believers to get grounded in their faith and to help us, maybe the senior saints or saints that are following Jesus, have a resource available for those that are seeking after the Lord. And I love the smallness of this book, though it's filled with a lot of content, over 200 pages. It can fit into like a purse, or it's an easy resource to carry around with you and to hand to friends. But let me begin this conversation before we formally introduce Dr. Dwight and Nicole with a writing, a press release about this book. And I think this will ring your bell, Jason. It says, fewer Christians share in their faith. Christ's mandate is now seen as optional in today's post-Christian culture. There is a huge gap between what people say they believe and what they actually do. This is especially true when it comes to evangelism. For Christians, sharing one's faith has almost become passé when New Testament disciples saw it as an extension of their faith. Most people who identify themselves as Christians feel hard-pressed to explain the basic tenets of their faith. In a culture that is becoming increasingly secularized, 37% of Americans qualified as post-Christians. They don't see truth as black and white. Instead, they believe truth and faith is a private matter and not one to split out in form of Christian imperialism. While younger generations of Christians don't mind embracing social justice causes, feeding the hungry, helping orphans, or the homeless, they are much more reluctant to share their faith, seeing it instead as pushing dogma rather than saving the lost. And then I like the final closing here. For those looking for a tool to give friends, co-workers, or family members, start here as a simple reminder that making a lifelong commitment to Christ need not be complicated. You only get to know each other deeply by doing life together, they explain, and it's the same with Jesus. Doing life together, Jason, I know that's something that rings your bell with the community, small group sharing. And here's a resource. It's called Starting Here, Beginning a Relationship with Jesus, that I think is a great resource for people to enter into a conversation about Jesus. And these seven different chapters begin with testimonies from people that have developed their faith journey and walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. So thank you, David, Dr. Dwight, for being available. Nicole, I know you both are team members. You minister together at the Hope Church. It's a fast-growing church in the Richmond, Virginia area. Dr. Dwight, you're an adjunct professor at Gordon Cornwell and Union Seminaries and serve on the board of directors for the Overseas Council. You and your wife have two children. And then Nicole, you are an associate minister at Hope Church and author of She's Got Issues, which I think is a great title, and you write for Relevant Magazine, a leadership journal, and Today's Christian Woman. So thank you for being available for today's edition of Mark and Friends.
Mark, it's great to be with you and Jason, and thanks for the opportunity to talk about our book. You know, I have to agree with you about She's Got Issues. We kid Nicole a lot that we're really glad that men don't have issues and that there's only a book like that for women, and she threatens to come out with He's Got Issues as the obvious sequel.
Or He's Got More Issues.
Well, the wives like to ask me when I'm going to write He's Got Issues so that they can give it to their husbands, and I say never. That will never happen.
It would be easy because it'd only be a page long. We don't read more than a page, so...
Well, you know, the guys around here at our church say the difficulty with this book, She's Got Issues, is it's very difficult to give to a woman as a gift because, you know, it's not a great thing to give your wife as an anniversary gift or something that sort of says, you know, hey, honey, here's how much I love you, and yeah, I got you this book as a present for our anniversary.
Yeah, I think we could get into a whole conversation on that topic, and maybe, Nicole, that'll
then
be...
Then we'd all sleep on the couch later on tonight.
Yeah, Nicole. Oh, maybe that'll be a future interview, but this book, Start Here, you've poured in your heart and passion and desire for seekers and even for the senior saints and Christians that follow the Lord Jesus Christ to have the resource that's fun to read, that's interesting, that's captivating, that's heartfelt, and that's a useful tool to help navigate people through how to begin that relationship with Jesus. And your first chapter, it begins with, it starts with Jesus. So how about we start today with a little snapshot into some of your own faith journeys with the Lord Jesus Christ?
Absolutely. Thanks, Mark. Yeah, Start Here really came out of a need in our own community for a way to give people a real starting point. And that is an expression of our own heart. Our own journeys to faith, like everyone's, are unique and have their own sort of ins and outs. And for me, I grew up in the church I grew up in a lot of different churches. My family moved around a lot. We were a military family. So I had the experience of lots of different kinds of places, different ways of experiencing God. But it wasn't until I was in college that I realized that I thought I had all the answers, and the answers weren't helping, because what I didn't have was a true relationship with Jesus. And it can be easy, isn't it? I'm sure some of your listeners have grown up in the church or have sort of been around church culture for their lives. It can be easy to feel like we know the right answers when, in reality, we're not experiencing a life-giving and life-changing relationship with Jesus. And in my college years, as I came back to sort of wanting to hunger for knowing more, you read the Bible and you realize it's all about relationship. It's about relationship from beginning to end. And there's so much life and joy and adventure in this idea that the first thing that Jesus offers us is himself in a relationship with him.
And how about you, Dr. David?
You know, for me, my search for faith really came out of a philosophical search. I grew up in a family that went to church kind of on Christmas and Easter, but not much more than that. And by the time I was a teenager, I was always asking sort of philosophical questions, why are we here and what's it all about and all that sort of stuff. And I come to a place where I thought in my own mind that there really was no God. I didn't have any way that I could see that God could exist. And then things changed dramatically for me when I got to college. And to make a long story short of what happened over a period of about 2 years, I began to get to know Jesus. But my search was really a philosophical search for truth. And this is one of the things we recognize in the book, that people come to faith differently. I have friends who would say they came to Jesus because they needed forgiveness, they knew they needed it, and they were looking for him for forgiveness. In the origins, at least, of my searching, I was looking for truth. And I responded to Jesus kind of in a John 14:6 way, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And then only as I began to grow in getting to know Jesus did I then begin to reckon with this matter of sin and my need for forgiveness. But my search was really philosophical, and that's what prompted me to be digging hard to try to get to the bottom of some of these big questions.
Hmm. David, how would you say that you mediate those things, though? Say the person who's coming to Jesus philosophically, or somebody who's coming emotionally, or somebody who's coming academically, or somebody who's coming maybe religiously, because at some point, all those, at some point, emotion runs out, philosophy runs out, and you know, academia runs out. How do you mediate those things and arrive at Jesus, and arrive at Jesus in a way that the academic, the philosopher, the person who's emotional, the person who grew up in church, they all arrive at the same Jesus and not say a Jesus that's jaded by their journey?
What a great question. At a certain level, probably we're all at risk of fabricating a Jesus who's made in the image of our own journey and our own personality. So at one level, what I would say and do say to people all the time, keep reading the Gospels, keep reading the Gospels, because this is where you're going to come to know Jesus for who he truly is. And there are a lot of, I'll call it, prescribed pictures of Jesus and even preset notions of Jesus that are kind of out there in the big world of Christianity. And I often find that when I read the Gospels and I try my best to just get to know the Jesus who's in those Gospels, I find that he's a little different than what Christian cultures have taught. This was like part of my own challenging journey, because when I was a new Christian, I began going to churches, and I began thinking, the environment, the feel, and what's being taught here about Jesus seems to be somewhat different, or maybe in some cases very different, than the Jesus that I'm reading about in the Gospels. But I think Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and that really is in the realm of philosophical inquiry. At the same time, he's our Savior and Forgiver, and that's at the realm of our deepest need at the level of longing and emotion. And so if we really know Jesus, he's God's Son, he's fully capable of meeting those two particular roads of approach, I think.
So you said that when you were in college, you had those 2 years where you struggled with, and thank God some Christian friends came around and they began to share who Jesus was. And Nicole, you had the same thing, kind of going through church and trying to figure out, well, wait a second, I hear this Jesus here and this Jesus here and this Jesus here. Who is Jesus? How would you two benefit from having somebody hand you a copy of Start Here, many years ago, back in those times when you were struggling with where am I going and who is Jesus?
That's a great question. Thanks for asking that. I think that more of what we were trying and that we're hopeful that we've done in the book is create a conversational tone, a warm relational tone that says questions and doubts are okay, and it's okay to not be totally sure, and this isn't about putting on a show of behavior. So we tried not to start from a place that says, are you doing the right things to get there? But we tried to start from the place where we think Jesus starts, which is with relationship, that God is always at work to draw us to himself. And I think, like David said, there's a piece of that that brings truth and the power of truth, and there's a piece of who Jesus is that brings the person and the heart and the part of us that has that deep need to be known, to be understood, to be loved and forgiven. And so what we've tried to do is say, you know what, no matter where you're beginning, Jesus is still going to invite you to come and see and come be with him, and you don't have to figure it all out before you begin to get to know him. That's something that we hear a lot is, well, I need to clean up my life, or I'm not ready for that, or all my doubts haven't been answered, so I'm not able to move forward with any sort of relationship at all. And our heart in the book is to say, just start, which is why it's called Start Here. Just start somewhere. Let's just begin. We use a marriage analogy quite a bit in the book, and we say, you know, analogies always have their beginnings and ends. They're not always perfect, but God uses marriage and family in Scripture as his ways of describing himself to us. And so if we were to follow that analogy through, we begin, before a marriage ever comes to be, there is a time of discovery and getting to know one another, not being sure, sort of moving forward, and there's always also a time of commitment. And what we want people to know, even some of your listeners might right now, if they're really honest, might think, I don't know where I really am. And the heart behind the book is to say, that's okay, just keep going, because Jesus is pursuing you, and God is pursuing you, and he's continuing to draw you to himself. So we can sort of have some confidence to know that he's going to do that. If you'll stay in it with him, he is most certainly staying in it with you.
In case you just tuned in, we have two special guests on the line with us. They're the author of a new book called Start Here, Beginning a Relationship with Jesus, Nicole Eunice and Dr. David Dwight. They both serve on the pastoral staff at the Hope Church in Richmond, Virginia. And I appreciate this book. Thank you for sending us a couple copies in advance. I love the testimonies in it, as I shared earlier. Say for the listener, because we have a wide range. We have from the seeker, the skeptic, to the senior saint, everyone in between. But talk to maybe two different groups. For those that are maybe beginning to entertain the idea that there's a sovereign God who may have an interest in them, may even love them, that they're trying to kind of discern what does that all mean. Or maybe for somebody that's been, if you will, dating Jesus, you know, just getting to know him, thinking all the warm fuzzies, hey, this is nice, but hasn't made a true commitment to follow him. Maybe those two different camps, the skeptic or the unbeliever that's tuning in today and is intrigued by this conversation about, I've heard about Jesus, but tell me a little more, and then the person that's maybe knowing and walking with Jesus but hasn't made that commitment.
Yeah, I think those are great questions, Mark. One of the things that we really do emphasize in the book, and to some degree this is a spillover of my heart, my experiences, and Nicole's as well, is we kind of want to have a message in the book that says, you got questions? That's great. Keep bringing questions. Keep asking questions. We really try to say that questions are the road of growth. And sometimes we feel like in Christian environments, there's an implicit message that says, you need to get over your questions. You need to conquer your questions. You need to get to the point where you're no longer asking questions like this, because I'm not sure, perhaps people feel insecure that they suggest doubt or lack of commitment. And I just don't find that to be true at all. I think questions are the fuel to growth. And so part of the tone of the book is to say, if you've got questions, that's awesome. I think it's a sign of health, and it's a sign of a growing faith. So to a person who's skeptical, I love talking to people who are skeptical, because I've always been a person who is skeptical. I perhaps sometimes have a hard time taking people at their word. And so when I was hearing stuff about Christianity, my default response is always going to be, I'm not sure I buy that. I'm not sure I trust that. And so I always have to work through this skepticism. So I would say skepticism is welcome, and I think Jesus welcomes it. If we read the Gospels, there were so many people that asked him questions, you know, well, why does this happen? And if you are the Son of God, then what about this? And he seemed to receive those questions wonderfully well, often by asking questions back to people in response. So I would say if you feel skeptical, my view would be that we welcome that. I think God welcomes it. Now, there's a skepticism that's honest and inquiring. There's another skepticism that's kind of proud and condemning, and that's a little bit different. So it's the setting of the hard question. But I think if somebody's skeptical and they've got questions, we say over and over, that's great, because that's part of growth. For the person who has been a Christian, or perhaps we can say somebody who's been in church most of their life or what have you, gosh, there's so many ways that people express things. In our church, what we've found is that lots of people have said, I've been around Christian environments, but I never really understood what this thing was really about until you all taught me this core relationship with Jesus. And a little while ago, I got a letter from somebody who said, one of the things that I find when I'm at your church is you guys don't do plastic surgery to make us look good on the outside. You do heart surgery to help us come to the core matters at a heart level. And I think that's true. I was very encouraged when I heard that. But I also think that's what Jesus does. You know, Jesus was often at odds with people whose religion was for show or was an externality. And he was always provoking people to address matters at the heart level. I also think that there are a lot of people who are in church or have been most of their life, and they have this perhaps insecurity that they're afraid to speak out, and they'll say, am I really a Christian? Like, really, 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 really a Christian? Mm-hmm. Like, God, does God really, really accept me? And we try to address some of that in the book as well.
I don't think I've mentioned this yet, but the book can be purchased along with a discussion guide at starthearbook.com, starthearbook.com. It's a David C. Cook publication. We've had many authors on in the past, and we appreciate the publishing house and the work that David C. Cook and their ministry accomplishes. And we appreciate just so much that you've written this book, Start Here, Beginning a Relationship with Jesus. And Nicole, what was one of your takeaways as you started writing this book and started researching it and thinking about it and seeking the Lord after, you know, specific chapter titles and what are we going to write about? What was one of your favorite nuggets maybe that you drew from this experience?
Sure. One of the things that was really a big part of this book was, you know, sometimes the hardest thing to do is to be simple and clear. And we spent a lot of time thinking about, at the end of the day, what are the five or six simple, clear truths that are the foundation that give you a healthy place to start in a relationship with Jesus? What is it that we want all of the people in our community to know? What would we want someone to know who's asking good questions? How do we create a way where people feel like they can ask those questions? And I was teaching at a retreat, and a woman came up to me, and very tentative, very unsure, like we often are when it comes to our faith, and we want to ask something, but we feel a little bit like this is something we should have already figured out. That's a general take that we have from this experience, is a lot of people feel like this is something I should have already known. And we welcome, hey, let's talk about those basic foundational pieces, because if you're missing these pieces, it's so easy to create, like we've talked about earlier, a God made in your own image rather than the true God. So this woman came to me and said, you know, I don't know how to say this, but I just really don't get Jesus. I just don't get it. And I said, you know what, Dana, that's great. That's a good starting place. Can I help you find a place to start in a gospel? Or let's talk about a few different things. So those are the kind of people that we hope to reach. And we wrote the book after that conversation with Dana, and I got to send her a book. Her story is actually in the book. Mm. And to be able to help somebody who really has an authentic search and they really want to know, to be able to help someone is why we really wrote the book. So that's one of my most encouraging kind of stories from this experience so far.
Well, I'll stop here. The continuation of this conversation in its entirety will be broadcast tomorrow. The book is called Start Here, Beginning a Relationship with Jesus, and you can purchase multiple copies at starthearbook.com, starthearbook.com, published by David C. Cook, David C. Cook Publications. Well, thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.